How many people realize that we live in a broken world? How many people realize that every single day of their life? The reason why the gospel is so beautiful is because Jesus comes into those broken places and brings restoration and healing. Ever since the fall, ever since man chose to sin, ever since we chose to sin, there's just been mass or brokenness in this world. And one of the ways the world is broken is there's such a thing as divorce. How many people have been affected by divorce? Have either been in a marriage where you got divorced, or your parents got divorced, or people who you love got divorced? It affects a lot of us. Right now, about 50% of marriages, one out of two marriages, end in divorce. Now, if you were about to get on a plane and they said you have a 50% chance of making it to the other side, would you get on that plane? I'd rethink it. This is what's happened with marriages. A lot of people, we're not having a high view of marriage anymore because of we've either been through marriages that are horrible and broken, or our parents have been divorced, and or we have friends who've gone through the devastation and the destruction that comes with divorce. This message is a preventative message. So all of us who have been through a divorce, I want you to hear grace today. There's no condemnation for anyone who's been divorced. There's only grace and forgiveness and love and mercy in God. Some of you have been hurt greatly through a divorce. Some of you have hurt others greatly through divorce. Please hear me as your pastor. Please hear grace and love today. This is a preventive message because Jesus is talking about divorce. I want us as a church to have a high view of marriage in a culture that has a very low view of marriage. See, most people, when they go through things like that, they say, I never want to get married because I have seen the devastation of an unhealthy marriage. Well, I play at Restoration Road. We have gospel-centered marriages and healthy marriages that are rooted in the love of God. And going forward from today, that we are a light to the world in a way that we're not perfect, but our marriages are rooted in the gospel and forgiveness and grace. My parents got divorced. I remember looking at the wedding pictures of my parents and saying, why the heck am I there? You know what I mean? I'm a baby at the wedding, and I'm saying, why am I at my parents' wedding? And then as things went on, it was not a healthy relationship. And my father committed adultery, among other heinous things. And it ended in divorce. And even as a young child, now you might not fully understand how to talk right, or how things go, but you understand when there's brokenness and there's separation. You understand when your father's not around anymore because he's been kicked out of the house. You understand that. So we don't want to belittle that, because even our children at a young age understand loss, and they understand pain, and they understand friction, they understand tension. We don't want to play that down. So I felt those things from a young age when all of a sudden my father was around, there was a divorce, and he wasn't around. Now then, my mother got remarried when I was about 6 years old. That relationship was absolutely tumultuous. 10 years of broken marriage. Now, I could have looked at these marriages and blamed marriage and not the people who were in the marriage. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Sometimes we like to blame ideas and blame institutions when we forget it's people who are running those institutions. Right? We act like marriage isn't connected to people. So I can look at those marriages and say, label marriage, say, I never want to get married. It's horrible. It's not something I want for my life. It's not something I want to be in. I'm not going to have a high view of it. But the gospel tells me something different. By God's grace, I was in a church that preached the gospel, and I saw that marriage can be a tremendously healthy thing, and a thing that brings life and light and love and intimacy and fun and adventure. Marriage can be an absolute awesome thing. I've been married for 11 years now. I look back and say, what the heck is going on? Have I really been married for 11 years? I'm going on 12 in April. That's a little way off. I know. I rounded up. But this relationship of marriage has been a fruitful relationship. Outside my relationship with God, it's been the best relationship in my life, the one that gave me the most life. I don't feel like, you know how men say, man, I got the ball and chain. What are you talking about? You're probably the ball and chain. Yeah, I said it. That wasn't in the manuscript, but sometimes I just shoot stuff out there. But it's been most fruitful and healthy and loving and caring and sacrificial thing. I only have good things to say about marriage. Now, me and Natalie are definitely not perfect. Now, any couple that says they don't argue, I've talked to these couples, and they're not together anymore. You argue in marriages. You get on each other's nerves about foolish, petty things in marriage. I'm telling you. You know, I saw a comedian the other day. Everything is cute when you're dating. You know, he said you get broccoli on your face. You like your broccoli on your face. That's so cute. You get broccoli on your face when you're married. You're mad at that person. I won't use a bad word. You're just everything. You know, at times we're so selfish. You start getting aggravated. You know, you brushing your teeth like that. Why are you brushing your teeth like that? Why'd you overcook the steak? What's wrong with you? You know, like there's things that happen in our hearts that we can get really irritated with each other. So I don't want to act that there haven't been times where I need to say, Natalie, please forgive me, there's something wrong with me. And she needs to say, Joey, please forgive me, there's something wrong with me. But when the foundation is the gospel, when the foundation is Christ, when you are on the mission of God today, there is nothing that can break that when you are focused on Jesus. I've been at wedding ceremonies where people exalt their love for each other. That's the foundation. We love each other. Our love will never be broken. You can't build it on your own love. Our love wavers, doesn't it? We're happy one day. We're not happy the next. We have this vision. I don't like this. I want a big house. I want a small house. I want an apartment. We don't know what the heck we want. Our emotions waver. Our love wavers, but the gospel doesn't waver. And when we come to that foundation, we find ourselves forgiving our spouse and loving our spouse and caring for one another and laying our life down for one another and being selfless. Its foundation has to be the gospel, because marriage is an awesome, awesome, dynamic, powerful, healthy, God-glorifying thing. It's a great thing. Now that's upside down, right? According to our culture. Our culture says what? Wait as long as possible before you pull that trigger. And they really treat it like it's a trigger. But God created marriage originally to honor Him. It's an institution that actually displays the gospel to the world. That a husband is called to love his wife like Christ loves the church. What woman wouldn't want to be loved like that? A wife is called to love her husband like the church loves Christ. What man wouldn't want to be loved like that? What man wouldn't want to be inside a relationship where his wife loves him in that way? See, we're all looking for intimacy. We're all looking for love. We're all looking for those kind of connections. And for those of us who are married, I want us to fight for our marriages. And for those of us who are single that date someone, I want you to look forward to marriage and say, God has given me someone that I'm going to dedicate my life to. And display the gospel through. Amen? So let's start here. If we could turn to Matthew 5. Yeah, the pastor should probably know the verse. 31 and 32. It says, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now, I bring this up every week. Jesus just isn't worried about offending anyone. Like he's not worried about growing Restoration Road if people get offended. Like, come on, I need something. Give me something. Now, we're getting in giving to the needy next week, so I feel like it's a little lighter. We're getting there. But these are really, the portion we're in are ethical teachings. I mean, he's going to hit morality and ethical things in our heart and really challenge us. And I encourage you today to be challenged by this in love. Because one of the reasons I love church is because it's a safe place. It's not a place where you should feel like the pastor's ever attacking you. Now, if the word of God makes you uncomfortable, I can't do anything about that. You know, those are things that we can't change. We're not going to say, well, you know, it's something the Son of God said. So let's hold fast to it. But it's a safe place where the hope is not that you hear this and just feel horrible of yourself and condemn. The hope is that you hear these things and say, I'm in sin. I know I'm in sin. God loves me enough to call me out on this so I can live a better and happier life in Him. you guys hear what that is? You do not call out sin so people feel horrible. Jesus did it because he loves us and he doesn't want us to go to the things that actually make us miserable. So he's calling us out of sin and holiness in marriage. Because people in that day, they were handing out divorce certificates like they were Groupons. Does that sound familiar to anyone? I mean, one out of two, there's a lot of divorce going on. They were handing them out like they were Groupons. Will you turn to me? I'm gonna address the text that Jesus is talking about. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. It's in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, no worries here. It says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies who took her to be his wife, then the former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that your Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. So that was the law Jesus is talking about that the leaders had misinterpreted. They had heard that whole law right there. And know what they heard out of that? I'm good as long as I give a certificate of divorce. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as there's a certificate and I legally do it, everything's okay. Do you know what these guys were getting divorced over? And this is historic. Burnt food. Their wives weren't cooking the food right. And they said, I got something for you. They just handed out a certificate and thought everything was all right. Then, even more heinous, they were finding other women more attractive. And they say, you know what? There's a more attractive woman I can have for my wife. Certificate. And Jesus says, you filthy vipers. How dare you read that law and think it's talking about a certificate of divorce? It's talking about the heart of the man. And the reason Moses instituted that law for his people was to protect the wife. Because you know what the guys were doing? They were given a certificate of divorce. And when you married a woman back then, the father would give you a dowry to the couple. Like there were lands, whatever was the currency, cattle, treasure, whatever it was. If a man married a woman, he would get an inheritance from the father. It was a dowry. When he gave that certificate of divorce, the wife would go off, and if she got remarried and her husband died, he wanted the dowry that she got from her second marriage. Do you guys see what I'm saying? So she'd get another dowry if she got married again from the father. Currency, cattle, or whatever it was, land. If the second husband died, the first husband was trying to go remarry her so he could get possessions and money and value. And the law was instituted because men kept doing that to women. And Moses said, you can't do it. That is theirs. Because these dirty vipers, once again, are passing out certificates, and they're trying to go back for money after the woman got remarried and her husband died. So the point of this law was to protect the woman and protect the institution of marriage. Do you know that too much in this culture we talk about knocking down walls, right? You know that some walls should be left up? Everyone's like, let's break down cultural walls. Some walls should be up. Walls protect you from stuff. Walls keep out danger. We should put up walls in certain places. And the biggest place we should put it up many times is our marriage. It has to have high walls of protection around it. You don't want to kick down those walls. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Walls are good. Barriers are good. Fences are good when they're protecting things. Parameters are good in marriage. This law, Jesus is saying, is not for you for certificates of divorce. He's saying it's to protect the marriage. Because a husband should be looking, how can I get out of a marriage? That's not supposed to be a heart of a husband. How do I get out of this? I'm looking for her to do something wrong. Or the wife is looking for the husband to do something wrong so she can get out of it. That's not a gospel-centered marriage. He should be laying down his life for his wife. He shouldn't be sending his wife away. He should be protecting her. But when our marriages are looking for a way out, no wonder no one wants to be part of a marriage. But when marriages come protected, places of holiness, places of loving God and loving each other, those are the kind of places that we want to be. Now, remember last week we talked about lust, And you know how Jesus, when he keeps changing the category, he says, and you heard that it was said? And he starts this text by saying it was also said. It's a continuance from last week where first he's calling the men and the women to be holy in their hearts, in their marriages. Then he's saying, don't take your marriages lightly, have a high view. And he's saying the only reason, these are heavy words, right? And we need to, because I can't preach 2 hours today, there's going to be a lot of conversations that happen after this message that need to happen in pastoral care, in relationship, to really see what the scriptures mean. But we only really have so much time to preach. Jesus says, very straightforward, he said, yes, there is a reason to get divorced. But the reason to get divorced is sexual immorality, not burnt food. Right? Some of you might say, I can't believe they were getting divorced over burnt food. We would never do that in our culture. All right, let's look at the stats. What do you guys think the number one reason people get divorced today is? What? Money is the number one reason to arguments, and it's high on the list. The number one reason people get divorced is growing apart. What is that? Once again, people act like there's someone else there making them grow apart, or some invisible force. Like, we just grew apart, like it's some sort of being. No, the two people in the marriage chose not to seek the gospel, be on the mission of God, seek intimacy, communicate with each other, and you grow apart when you don't work to stay close. Do you guys hear me? Growing apart is the number one reason. The number one reason divorced couples sit down, they sit down and say, we've grown apart. That smells like burnt food to me. The second reason, we're still not in infidelity, it's number 6 on the list. Unable to talk to each other, the second reason people get divorced. Now, there was a point in your relationship you could talk to each other. Because if you decide to marry each other, I hope you talk through it. That's the second reason. Smells like burnt food to me. How the spouse handles money. There it is, money. I'm telling you, I've done a few premarital counseling. You talk about like tough subjects like sex and all these other things, and everyone's comfortable. You get to money, people are sweating. I'm sweating. I'm like, man, this is so uncomfortable. Get me out of here. I'm like, how is this the toughest subject? The money, right? That's the number 3 reason people get divorced, about money, cash flow, currency, earthly possessions. We're breaking the holy union of God because of cash. Smells like burnt food to me. That's the last time I'm going to say that. Spouse's personal problems is number 4. Not enough attention. Can you imagine? Now, understand, these are all things that the gospel can take care of. It's not like, man, I don't have enough tension. Oh, we can't work through this, man. That's it. You're right. Somebody repent. Somebody show the most important person in your life the most attention. Right? These are all things the gospel can... 1 through 5. Are those not things the gospel can cover? Communication. Not enough time. Cash. Those are things. If you're seeking the mission of God, if you're repentant, if the gospel's there, you should be fighting for your marriage. Fighting to have a healthy marriage. Number 6 is infidelity. We'll talk about that a little more. Spouse's personal habits. I'm trying to figure, what does that mean? Like, I can't stand the way Natalie eats fruit on the couch. It drives me bananas. Is that what they're talking about here? She has her own things. It's just so loud, and it's the crunchiest thing she can find. It's like double-fisted cucumbers. And I'm like, I can't deal with this. This might be over. I'm sorry. Number 8 in the same arena, sexual problems. Number 9, taste, preference, differences, like different hobbies and stuff, is number 9 on the list. That's pretty petty. We have different hobbies? So we're going to get divorced. I like to ride a bike, you like to sew. This ain't going to work. Number 10, and this is a heavier one, alcohol and drug problems. Now, they're all serious in this way, that they're causing people to get divorced, that people are passing out divorce certificates over these things. They're serious things, but I think that a large amount of those can be categorized as petty, right? Jesus' message is still for today. is still for today. He's saying, husbands, fight for your marriages. Wives, fight for your marriages. Those who are single, look forward to marriage, to live in this kind of gospel-centered marriage, because it's a holy union that brings glory to God. Now, yes, there is a reason with sexual immorality that divorce is even acceptable in the eyes of God, because even God creates healthy parameters and wouldn't want us in something that's unhealthy and unholy and when there's been such betrayal. But just because there's a way out, and we're going to cover this in full, doesn't mean you have to take it. You guys hear me on that? Some people get sinned against in their marriages, there's adultery, and you have full right before God to leave that marriage. Some people choose to forgive, and you can also stay in a marriage and work through the gospel to restore that marriage. Now, I don't want to lift one over the other, but I do want to kind of say, if it is at all possible to restore the marriage through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then when there can be forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration, let us work for that as a church, as a people, if it can be. I was preaching a sermon. It wasn't even on marriage, and there was a moment when I made myself vulnerable, and I said there was a time in my life where I was suffering from anxiety, depression, and not having purpose in my life so much that I didn't even feel like going on. So I just shared that in a message that wasn't even on marriage. After the message, a woman came up to me. It wasn't here. And she said, thank you for sharing that. There were tears in her eyes. She said, I'm going through those same kind of feelings right now. But the reason she was going through that anxiety and that depression and all those not wanting to go on is because her husband of many years, they had many children together, had been having a 2-year affair with another woman. And she was so broken. I saw it in her eyes, you know what I mean? We didn't even know each other well, but she was so moved, that vulnerability, because she said, I'm going through the same thing and I needed to hear that so I can push through with the power of the gospel. Do you know that she forgave her husband? Now this blows my mind, because I'm being honest with you guys, I don't know if I could. Can I be honest with you? I don't know if I could. And hopefully I'll never find out. So I don't know if I could do that. So when I see the gospel hit someone in that way and they're able to forgive, she forgave her husband. They worked through it. They're totally reconciled. The husband was absolutely repentant. The kids are happy. The family's happy. They're actually flourishing now. I'm amazed, and it testifies of the gospel to me. Because how many times have we worshipped other gods? How many times have we sinned and left our God? How many times have we gone after things and committed idolatry on our God? Right? How many times have we had affairs when it comes to worship God with other things in this world and not shown our affection to God? And how many times has God taken us back and reconciled and restored us? Isn't that true? This woman chose to do the same for her husband, and it was amazing. Now, the key to it was the husband was also repentant. He wasn't still telling stories like, you know, I just got a new friend. If someone's telling you got a new friend, please don't believe them. Please do not believe them. I can't tell you how many people I sat down with that talk about a new friend and it ends marriages. I sat down with another man. I just want to share the opposite side of you so we're not exalting one. We're emphasizing the gospel, not exalting one. Another man sat down in the same category. And he said, my wife, all of a sudden, has a bunch of new friends. And you know how you can't see something when you're in it, when you love someone? Oh, there's so much denial that there's so much pain that if you actually saw it, it'd be too much suffering. You feel like you can't deal with it. It's tough when you're on the outside and you love someone and you realize they're caught in that blind spot. And this man was absolutely talking the blind spot. So he was saying, well, she's been with a few guys, but they're just friends and they only kissed once. Please listen to me. Out of love, everyone when they caught says they just kissed. That's not scriptural. That's from me, separated from the canon. I said, and I just felt the weight of it because she had been doing it with different guys, like just going out, spending time with them, saying they're just friends. Now she's in a marriage, and this guy's all broken and say, the gospel's going to work out the relationship. I'm going to keep going for it. And I looked that man in the eye, and I said, listen, you need to leave this marriage now because she's not going to stop. There was no repentance. She was still storytelling. She was still talking that crazy friend talk. And that man, finally, after he tried for 6 more months and there were more affairs, got out of that relationship. He's remarried with a lovely woman who loves the gospel. They have 2 children and they're flourishing. You guys hear what I'm preaching? I want to give you 2 sides of the spectrum because I don't want to say you love God less if you choose to get out of a marriage where there's been sexual immorality, because you don't, because you have every right to. God can be glorified in both situations, whether you're restoring that marriage or causing you to be in another marriage where there's, where God is glorified. Amen? Those are big things. Okay. I just want to talk some, the best defense is good offense. I love basketball, so you're going to get some of those. The best defense is good offense. So I wanted to talk about a good offense in marriage to put high walls up so you don't even run into conversations like divorce. You know? I don't want this even on our radar in marriages. I want us to be so filled with love and forgiveness and grace and be on the mission of God, and our walls are high. The first thing is, you want to model your marriage after the gospel, not after anyone else's marriage. That's the worst thing you can do. Now, you want the heart. Like, if you see a married couple who are really healthy, get the heart of what they're doing, but don't try to directly imitate what they're doing, because you're in a marriage where you're 2 totally different people who like totally different things. I get caught up in this sometimes. I'm like, our marriage has to be like that couple just jogging the lake, reading classic novels. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, that just looks so healthy and elite. We got to be that kind of couple. No, God made you who you are. And the way you relate to your spouse, the way you communicate with your spouse, the things you have fun doing is going to be totally different from other married couples. Like, you know how me and Natalie are fun? We binge watch Netflix. That happens on date night. Like, I'm almost done with Dexter, 8 seasons. I started last week. Truth. Because we binge. No, it was a little longer than that. But our best thing is to order Thai food and binge watch Netflix. Like, that's a big date night for us. That's how we have fun. You know how we communicate? Some people like to intentionally sit down. Like, 5:30, meet me Tuesday night. I'm going to have an agenda for you we're going to talk through. If that's you, awesome. I can't sit down at 5:30 on Tuesday night with an agenda, because it's not how me and Natalie are made. Me and Natalie casually talk through the whole house about deep life issues. Like, there's no official sit-down. It's just a total walkthrough, laundry, trash, and we talk through the whole. That's how we communicate. Now, some of you, it might be absolutely healthy to have official sit-down because you think in that way. But you need to communicate the way God made you. You need to love the way God made you. You need to have fun the way God made you, with the heart of the gospel at the center. Do you guys hear me? Because too many times it gets weird in churches. Like, people start imitating certain people, and everyone has the same hairdo. Everyone has the same dress. Everyone goes to the same restaurant on date night. No, that gets strange. That's bugging me. I'm going to leave if that starts happening. Like, be yourself, but allow the gospel to change your heart in the context of who you are with your husband and wife in your relationship. Have time set aside every week where it's just you two if you're in a marriage. Now, once again, me and Natalie do a date night every Wednesday night. You don't have to do a date night, but if you can get it, do it. I love it, man. Right in the middle of the week, a date night. It's awesome. Now, some of you, it might be a certain time during the day when it's just you and your spouse. During that time, make sure you're connecting emotionally, intellectually, and physically. Now, I know all the guys just heard daily on that. You know what I'm trying to say. It's important that you stay connected to your spouse, because that's what happens when things start growing apart. You need to have a time set aside weekly, daily, where you're connecting with each other on all those levels. If not, those things like growing apart get in there. Your spouse is the person who needs the most attention in your life, the most dedication, the most time, the most conversation, the most time listening to. Hear God's voice together and have God's ear together. I would encourage couples to read your Bibles together. Now, you don't have to do it a certain way. Me and Natalie do a daily Bible reading plan. And you know what? We don't get it every day, but we get it a high percentage. And we start talking to each other casually about what we've been reading. That's very important. Like, what the heck's going on in Leviticus? You know, like, those conversations happen. And then we pray together. Nothing is harder for me, at least my experience, than praying with your spouse. I don't know why this is so hard. Like, you feel like the whole world has to stop in order for you to pray with your spouse. Right? Just go for it. Now, we don't pray every night. Once again, we pray as a, we probably should pray more, but we do pray to a good amount. And when we pray, it's always fruitful. It's always fruitful. Because in your marriage, you're knowing God together. Husband and wife, knowing God together, praying. Your prayers don't have to be 45 minutes. Just pray from your heart. You know, I pray for my kids. I pray for you guys. I pray for things. We pray for things together. You gotta hear God's voice through the Word of God together, and you've got to pray together. These build healthy and happy marriages. Confess sin to one another. A lot of marriages, division gets in there because no one's confessing sin to each other. Like, me and Natalie have times where we just say to each other, and I'm just speaking from my experience, not saying we are the perfect marriage, but from our experience, like, there's something wrong with my heart right now. Like, I want the things of the world. Like, some of us keep that in when you wake up and you don't want to be a husband and a dad that day and just walk around just mad at everyone. No one knows why. You just need to confess that to someone. Like, I'll tell Natalie sometimes, like, man, I'm just straight up selfish. I don't want to do this. Or we'll share with each other, like, you know what? The world's pulling on me a little bit. All of a sudden, those the pride in possessions, the pride in life, living for yourself, and that's pulling on me a little bit, and it's messing up my heart. I need to confess that to you. We need to talk through that. Speak the gospel to me. Those are important things in marriages, that you're open and vulnerable and transparent about those things, because the person who's going to speak the gospel to you the most or should is your husband or wife. There's been times, I'm sure you guys feel doubt, condemnation. Sometimes you probably feel like God, you're too far off for God to even love you. Or you've committed a sin you can't be forgiven of. Do you know that I felt like that in my marriage before? And had to say to Natalie, I need you to preach the gospel to me right now. Because I'm having trouble believing it. That should happen in a marriage. When you're so down, when you're so depressed, when you're losing faith, when you're losing heart, you should be able to look to your husband or to your wife and say, I need you to speak the gospel to me right now. Tell me I'm forgiven. Tell me I'm loved. Tell me God still is for me. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching there? I know some of us are married and some of us are not, but hopefully if you're single, unless you can make it for the rest of the run in your life, maybe the hope is one day you get married. And these tools are important for having a healthy marriage that lasts. Amen?